Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, here I am to worship you. I am in your presence. You know me, Father, everything inside and out. I worship you. Lift up your hands all across, everyone. Lift up your hands. It says, the Bible says, lift your holy hands. Bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we are so grateful for the good things that you have done in our lives, Father. We are here to worship you. We are here to declare that you are our God. There is no one like you. You are altogether lovely. You came down to this world. But Lord, you left the light and came to this dark world, oh Father, to redeem me, Father. Be grateful, Lord. We are thanking you for this morning. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you are and all that you are doing for our lives, oh Father. Lord, at this moment, I pray that you bless us, Lord. I pray that you strengthen us, I pray. I pray, Lord, for everyone who has opened their hands and given to the King, the work of the kingdom. I pray that you bless this offering and the tithe that your people has given, Father. Lord, let it be, Father, that you will return back to them a thousandfold, oh Father. Give them much more that will overflow into their lives. And Lord, this morning as we come before your word, we pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand and don't sit down, but just shake your neighbor's hand and say, it's good to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. As we are standing up, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. This morning we are going to start a new sermon series that God put in my heart. I know the last time was very challenging, but this time the Lord has given us a new sermon series called How to Impact Your World. We are going to look at the life of Daniel, a few things that we can take away in our lives, and we are going to take some life lessons from a man called Daniel. And today we are going to speak about how to develop godly convictions. How to develop godly convictions. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I want to read the whole chapter of chapter 1, but I'm going to limit myself to the first 8 verses. I want you all to read. Look to the Bible and read along with me to understand what the Lord has to speak to you this morning. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version Bible. But please take whichever version you have and read it so you can understand what the Lord's going to speak to your hearts. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they may serve before the king. Now from among them of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. May the Lord add his blessings to this word. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat down. This morning I am so delighted that we are able to look deeper into the word of God. This morning I especially want to tell all the young people, please for a few minutes. Pay attention to what is being told this morning. Your lives can change. I'm telling you. You know, when you do the things that are right before God, God can change your life. And even for the older people, there is still time to change and do things that God wants in your life. So this morning I want to speak about developing godly convictions. I'm going to explain to you. In the dictionary, the word conviction is defined as a fixed or strong belief. But conviction is really more than just a belief. Your conviction would include your values, your commitments, and your motivations. They are an all-inclusive thing called convictions. Francis Kelly has written like this: convictions are the mainspring of action, the driving powers of your life. What a man lives for are his convictions. But I would add this along with that. Convictions are some things that a person is ready to die for. You are ready to die for that because it's a part of your conviction. And that is what the great Bible teacher by the name of Howard Hendricks has said. A belief is something you can argue about. A conviction is something to die for. You are ready to give up your life for something that is a part of your conviction. Martin Luther used to tell to his children almost every day when he would get together, he says, if a man has nothing that is worth dying for, then he is not fit to live. Let me repeat, if a man has got nothing that is worth dying for, he is not fit to live. So this morning I want to bring before you a person by the name of Daniel, who was a model of conviction. Daniel lived approximately 400 years after King David and about 600 years before Jesus came to this world. The book that bears his name covers a period of 605 BC to about 530 BC. When the beginning chapter of Daniel, we see Daniel as a teenager who was approximately 15 years old. A young boy, a teenager who was 15 years old. When the book closes at the final chapter of Daniel, he's approximately 90 years old. He's an old man when this book is closing at the end of the book of Daniel. But during his long life, God allowed Daniel to serve under a succession of Babylonian and Persian rulers. From being an imported hostage, he becomes a trusted prime minister and a counselor to some of the mightiest rulers in this world history. From being a nobody, he becomes a somebody, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of the world. Daniel was one of the young men who was taken captive from his home in Jerusalem. And he was deported to a foreign country by the name of Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC. But let me remind you of a couple of things about Daniel. I'm not exaggerating here. The Bible speaks. And when the Bible speaks about somebody with some qualities, it is true. So he was, even though he was one of the deported young men, but he was not selected by accident. He was chosen because of his outstanding qualities. The word of God says he was an intelligent young man. He had an impressive resume. In fact, he was very handsome. The Bible speaks about a few handsome people, and Daniel says that it says he was good looking or handsome. So physically he was attractive. Also he had high SAT scores. When they did an IQ test, he was at the top part of the IQ. He was very intelligent as well. He had good social skills. He was a charming young man, but he was a deported slave from from Jerusalem. In fact, he was the cream of the crop among the Jewish boys that were deported. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon, wanted to brainwash Daniel and his friends. So, for 3 years, he put them on a training program. He wanted to impress and immerse them in the Babylonian culture and assimilate them into a polytheistic theology. Because the Babylonian culture, they worship many gods, and they wanted to brainwash these young men so that they would be top people in the administration for King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 3 years training, they would be assured of a high level government position. In fact, this was a beautiful plan that Nebuchadnezzar built up. If you look at it, there are some things that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change in the life of this young men. Number one, when you look at verse number 4, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their language that they speak from the language of Zion or Hebrew to the language of Babylon. The first thing they wanted to change the language to communicate good with the people. Next, in verse number 4, we also read that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their literature. Since literature is the window through which most cultures present themselves, they wanted to change the books that they were reading. You know, turn away from the Torah. Look to the great philosophers of Babylon and the great books that they were reading, and immerse these young men in those kind of books so that they will understand the Babylonian theology and culture. The third thing we see in verse number 5 is what? It says that the King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change the lifestyle of the people, including what they would eat. Because the king said, you know, I want to give them what I'm going to eat. The best of the best. The delicacies, the top, you know, if you go to a menu in a restaurant, the top priced, the most expensive, the most delicate food. The king said, this is what you should give to the young men. He wanted to change their lifestyle, because I think even those days they knew that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You give him food, good food, he's happy. And that's the way that they wanted to change the hearts of the people. And finally, when you come to verse number 6 and 7, we see that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their identity. He gave them Babylonian names. Now, if you think about it, the names they already had, the Hebrew names, they were all connected to the God of Israel. They were something to do with Jehovah God, but the king said, no, we are going to give new Babylonian names that is depicting the gods of Babylon. And so he gave each of them a name that is depicting the gods of Babylon. Because the original Hebrew names was given by godly Hebrew parents who had raised up their children to serve the living God. But the king said, no, we need to change the names also. The moment we address them, they will address each other with the God, the name of their gods of Babylon. So, what was the plan of Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't want just good Jews working under him. He wanted good Babylonians who had good Jewish background. He wanted them to be Babylonians from the core. So these young men were all geared up for a fast track for success. It is like, you know, you are given the full right scholarship in the prestigious university, and you are said, you pass out and there is a campus interview for you, and you get the best job in the top paying job in the society. We are going to lead you through that. Or, for example, in your company, you are given a fast track. You go into some certain set of things and you end up in a management role that you end up being the CEO of the company. That is the way these young guys were taken through. A few of these young people. It was a wonderful deal. You come to think about that, with the worldly sense, it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful deal that Nebuchadnezzar was giving to these young people. He thought that he was doing a big favor for these young people. You know, the whole process was to get these Jewish boys to forget their past, forget their heritage, forget their religion, and forget their God. That they will not even remember God, but they will totally forget because they are in a foreign land where they are away from their parents. Nobody to look, their pastor is away, their Sunday school teacher is away, nobody is going to look at them. They are in a culture which is the top end, and they said, okay, this is what I would like you to do. You can forget everything. So they were trying to take out what the parents had put in their heart from the very young age. But Nebuchadnezzar forgot one important fact. You can change the outside, but you cannot change the heart of a person. You know, I tell parents every time, and I counsel, many times we give counseling to young parents. I am just telling you this. When your children are growing up from the infancy, even from the mother's womb, up to 6 years or 7 years old, that is the time to train them up in godly ways. When your children is disobeying you, don't just pat on the back and say, Monet, that's fine. Oh, he's a kid. No, he's learning something. In that small age as parents, I am telling you, those are the character forming days of a young child. As a parent, if you are strict about the responsibility that you take upon yourself to raise your children in godly ways, I am telling you, when they are old, they will never depart from it. Can I hear an amen from you? When train up a child when he's young, so when he's old, he will never depart from it. Maybe your child goes to a foreign place where you are not there, but I'm telling you, if you have raised that child in godly ways, giving them godly habits, giving them a healthy respect for God, changing their discipline in their life to serve God, pray, read the Bible. You know, if you are able to train them, wherever they go, they are not going to change because their in the heart has already been set for the ways of God. So here what happened? King Nebuchadnezzar thought that he can give all these good incentives and change this young man. But apparently one teenager among this, and I'm telling you, he was not a great person. He was one among the other teenagers. But the word of God says that this young man made a decision. I'm not going to go along with this program. He says in verse number 8, he refused to defile himself by eating the king's food and drinking the king's wine. This appears a little odd. I don't know if you are thinking like that. Oh, we just read and go like that. Oh, it was an easy thing. No, it was not an easy thing. It was not. It is very hard to go against the current. When everybody is doing one thing, for you to stand up and say, no, I cannot but serve my God, is very, very hard. Especially in those culture, in those days. It was a pagan culture, a pagan time. He was a foreigner in a foreign country. He was a captive. He was not having that decision in his mind. But this is how many of us also think about. Many times the important thing for us are the minors. We major in the minors, the outward, the little things. Oh, he is doing this, he's wearing that, he's in the, all those are outer. What matters in a person is his heart and the character and how he's standing before God, his eternity. That is what is important. We always, many of us and many preachers, take valuable time to preach against exterior things, clothing and this and that, rather ignoring the greater things that God is more interested in. The character of a person, the lifestyle of a person, what a person is doing. Is he working for the Lord? Is he faithful in the kingdom of God? We ignore that. And we look at the exterior and we criticize and say, let us do this and let us do that. But God is more interested in the heart of a person than what the outward person does. Today when you came into this room, God has, I think, even ignored what you were wearing. Maybe you were wearing a new sari or a new suit or something. God did look straight to your heart to see where your heart is. Is it stony? Is it filled with sin? Is it away from God? That is what God is looking at your heart. And that is what God wants from you. And here it says that whatever happened in their life, Daniel said no. He only refused the food. Very, very interesting to note. He did not refuse about being called by Belshazzar. He did not refuse even the training program. But he only refused one thing. He said that I'm not going to eat the food. Now, why is the food so important? And I'll tell you. I'll give you three reasons. Number one, the food was not prepared according to the kosher laws of the Old Testament. You know, there is no prohibition in the Old Testament of taking a name or learning what others believe. But Jewish law had a strong prohibition about what the Jews can eat and cannot eat. I'm talking about the Old Testament. Daniel's stand was based on God's word, the Torah that he had learned at the feet of his mother. Number two, the wine and the meat that was offered would be previously offered to the idols, and then they would bring the food. And so it is kind of you're endorsing idol worship and paganism. That was the second reason. And third is when you are sharing a meal with the king, you are sharing his values. Many times when we share a meal with somebody, we are sharing their value, their friendship, their support. So for Daniel, it meant that if I'm going to eat the king's meat, I am endorsing and I am compromising for what I believe. So Daniel would undergo a cultural transformation as he's getting trained to work under a pagan king. But do you know what happens? Daniel had a conviction. He stood by his conviction. Today I want to just quickly give you four things that we can learn from the story that we also should adopt in our life. Young people, please note down. For some of you who are going from middle school to high school, from high school to college, note this down. Maybe you may not hear this again, but this is a word for, especially for the young people who are going into a pagan culture. Today you are going into high schools and colleges that has undescribable immorality that is going on there. I will not even speak here in a public forum the things that are going on in a college or in a college dorm or in a high school, the things that are going on. But there is something that you can learn from Daniel, and I want you to think about that, and you should do exactly what he did. Number one, what he did in verse number 8, it says that this is what you should do. Resolve to do right. Resolve to do right. In here in verse number 8 it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. He resolved that he will not defile himself. In another translation said he made up his mind. Inside his mind, I'm not going to defile. Everything else flows from your mind. Whatever you do, it all comes as a product of your thought process. Everything starts here. If you are clear about your convictions in your mind, you will not go astray to do the things that are not permitted for you. And Daniel did not say, oh, let me get all the boys together, let me get everybody to decide. No, he just as an individual, he said, I am not going to do this. He decided for himself what he would do and what he would not do. That changed everything. I don't say in the Bible that he tried to convince others, but there were some other young people who sided with him. In fact, let me tell you that as a young person, it is a very good thing that you make some resolutions in your life. Don't make resolutions at the 31st December, oh, I'm going to do this. No, as a young person, make some resolutions and don't go away from those resolutions. If you do that, God is going to help you. And God is going to take care of you. Let me give you an example of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. I don't know if you've heard about him. When he was 19 years old, he made 70 resolutions that he said, I'm going to follow each and every day. His resolution number one was, I will live for God alone. Number one. Number two, he said, if no one else does, I will still live for my God. He made a list of 70 resolutions. Do you know what happened? God used him as a great preacher, a great educator, a great writer. And he was the one who led the first great awakening in the United States. The man that God used to lead an awakening of the great deluge and the blessing of God. I am telling you that as John Edwards made, we need to make some strict resolutions. Make some boundaries within your life. Don't go outside that boundaries, because if you do that, God will really honor your decision in your life. Why did Daniel make that resolution? Because the Babylonians could change everything about Daniel. They could change his location. They could change his education. They could change his language. And even they could change his name. But they could not change his heart. Why? Because his heart belonged to God. So young men, young women, I'm telling you, if you give your heart to God, that heart will not have place for anything else in your life. Amen? Give your heart to God. Let him have the complete control over your life. And if you make a resolution in your life, make a decision, don't just follow the crowd. Don't be one of the crowd, but say, I am going to make a decision. I belong to God and no one else. I'm going to live for God. Then God is going to honor you like he did in the case of Daniel. He said, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. No matter what others say. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow God. Let me come to the next step in Daniel's life. When you come to verse number 9. We read here like this. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So the chief training officer, God, now you see, when Daniel made a decision like this, God gets into the act and God enters the picture. When, you know, this happened after Daniel made that decision. God caused the chief training officer, Ashpenaz, to have favor upon Daniel. And this happened after Daniel's decision and not before. Let me ask you this. Does God bless a person and honor that person? Yes. But it is after you make a decision to serve God. You can experience God's blessing in your life after you stand up for what you believe. Let me quickly give you one more illustration. There was a runner called Eric Liddell. He was a great runner, but when he went to the 1924 Olympics in Paris, his race was set upon a Sabbath day, and he said, I cannot run on this day. He declined to run. But a very few days later, there was another race that was planned, which was not prepared. And one of his friends put a note in his hand that read a verse from the Bible. It's God saying, he who honors me, I will honor. And what happened? Eric ran this race and he won the race and won the gold medal on that year. And God used him afterwards mightily. But he stood for what he believed in. His convictions were strong. So the Bible says in Proverbs 12:2, Solomon writing like this, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. How do you obtain favor? When your convictions are good, God's favor will be upon your life. Psalmist wrote in Psalms 5 verse 12, for you will bless the righteous, O Lord. You will cover him with favor as with a shield. You know, for a righteous person, God's favor is upon your life. Wherever you go, the favor of the Lord is around you. Whatever you do, you will have prosperity. You will be blessed by God. I am telling to everybody here today, if you are in a workplace, you put God as your favor. Train yourself to live for God, to follow the path of God. God is going to bless you and make you fruitful wherever you are. And this is what the Word of God says. So the second thing I told you was that when you do that, you will receive God's favor with fidelity. The third thing I would tell you is that sometimes you should request a test to verify what you are doing. When you look at verse number 11 to 13, Daniel told, I don't know how he got that wisdom, but he told this his training officer, listen, let's just try this. Give us like 10 days. Okay, we don't want to, I want to see and understand that really God is not going to let us down. Give us 10 days. We are not going to eat the meat and the wine. Rather, we will live on vegetables for the next 10 days. Give us a chance. He allowed to put in the test. It was a simple proposal. And at that end of it, head of the eunuchs could make a decision and draw the conclusion. It was a reasonable 10 days is nothing compared to 3 years, right? Because his training was for 3 years. He's asking for just 10 days. Just let's try it out. At the end of the 10 days, what do you see? Look here. And when we come here to verse number 13, we see that, I mean, he says that you examine us and see how do we look. And so it says, verse number 14, it says, he consented and they allowed the testing to be done. At the end of 10 days, verse number 15, look in your Bibles. Their features were better and fatter in flesh. It is like they say, the flesh was glowing. They were looking more better. Even with eating vegetables. Some people think that only if you eat meat and milk and all that, you are going to know. Sometimes, you know, with God's favor upon you, you eat only vegetables, still you will look much, much better than you are looking with all the meat and other things that you are eating. And so I believe that God injected some vitamins into that vegetables. They ate, they were looking very good. And the end of it, they came out better than everybody. Because you know why? Many times Daniel took to himself to say, let us take to a test. You have to test the faithfulness of God. I'm telling to young people, and today I want to challenge you. Why don't you put God in a test? Take it as a challenge and say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I don't know what part of your life you are facing struggle. There are many of our young people struggling in many areas that the parents have no idea. The teachers have no idea, nobody, but they are struggling with certain things. I am talking to you as a young person. If you are struggling in a certain area, I want you to make a conviction, make a resolution. Stand for God and put God in a test. And say, Lord, I'm going to test you. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be carried away. But I'm going to give a chance. I'm going to stick to my resolution. And I'm telling you, at the end of that resolution period, God is going to honor you. And God is going to do something amazing for your life. You know, don't compromise with the world. The world is always wanting to put in the trap, but you are a child of God. Don't go and be swayed by the things of the world. But when you are standing up for your conviction, you know, that conviction will see the fruit and the results. The final thing, the verse number 4, when we come to verse number 17 to 19, it was not only that, but we see what happened after the length of time. Verse number 17 to 19, and this is what I'm saying. Be confident that God is going to reward you. When you stand for Him, God is not going to put you down. Hear what happened. Look at verse number 17 onwards. For these four young men, so Daniel was joined with three other friends. They decided to do it together. And with that strength of a group effort, you see what happened. I want you to underline this portion if you have not done there. God gave them. That is the most important part of that verse. Not that they got something from themselves, but God gave them. What did He give them? He gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel started getting understanding in visions and dreams. He was an ordinary boy, but God started favoring upon him. He gave him wisdom. Some of your parents are praying for your children for wisdom that they will pass out exams and do good. I am telling you that if they are standing up for God, if the children, young people, if you stand for God, God's favor will be upon you.
He will give you wisdom. He will give you skill. He will give you knowledge. And not only that, He may even give you revelations and dreams. Because that is a promise of God. You remember the promise that God gave to Prophet Joel? In the last days I will pour out my spirit. Your young men shall see dreams and visions. You know, this is an actual thing that happens, will happen today if you are willing to stand up for God. The problem is that we are so much in the middle. We have one hand on the world. We have one hand on God. Nothing is going to be achieved like that. You have to be sure where you stand. Your convictions have to be sure. You have to make some resolutions. Don't be dilly-dally. God does not want people who are dilly-dally. You have to be strong in what you believe. You have to act upon your belief. Be strong in your conviction and God is going to reward us. Sometimes the reward does not come as quickly. Here in the case, the reward came pretty quick. And they saw the reward of that. Sometimes let me tell you, that reward may not even come during this lifetime. I will even tell you that. But the reward is definitely going to come. So look at the order, how it happened. First, Daniel made a decision to stand for what he believed. Number two, God honored that decision. Number three, they passed the test. Number four, God gave them wisdom and understanding. And because they held firm to their convictions, God rewarded them. God protected Daniel. And God, as he prospered through the test. God prospered Daniel even afterwards as he went through. And then God promoted Daniel in the eyes of the king. And he became a man of influence. You know, it takes courage, it takes character, it takes a commitment to godly convictions to do what is right. I'm going to close here. And I want to tell you this. In the time of testings, be faithful to God. Even though nobody is looking. Integrity is when you do right when nobody is looking at you. And many times we fail that. We need wisdom to do the right thing. You know, that will not violate what the word of God tells us. Resolve to do right. Have the courage to stand up. And don't compromise with the other things. Whatever happens, even cheating on your tax returns. These are the days of tax returns. Don't lie and cheat in your tax returns. Because God is watching your tax returns too. God is watching us every moment of our life. Even the small things that you see, God is looking at us. And if you are standing upright for God, God is going to take care of you. We need to have a personal discipline. A life of faithfulness that we will serve God alone. This is the greatest opportunity that God is giving us today. And you know what? We need to impact our world. That is how we impact our world. Not just being somebody. You know, just flowing with the crowd. You don't make an impact. If you have to impact your world, you have to stand up for your convictions. Let me ask you this question. Are you standing up for what is right? Your decisions will determine your destiny. Many times you take wrong decisions and you suffer the consequences all your life because you did not put God in the picture and you did not take decisions. You know what I'm talking about. Whether it is choosing a career, whether it is choosing a marriage partner, you make certain decisions without putting God in the picture. And then you tend to suffer. And then you pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. But I'm telling you that God has not given up on anybody. Even today you can turn back and you can take some godly decisions. A final word here. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2. The word of God tells us, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world is passing away and the lust. But he who does the will of God, he who does the will of God abides forever. Can we all stand up on our feet right now? As we turn to the Lord at this time, I want you to surrender your hearts to the Lord at this time and say, Father, I want to stand up for my convictions. You have called me out of darkness. You have brought me before you. I don't want to compromise in my belief. I don't want to compromise in my values. As the praise and worship team comes in the front end, and they sing this final song. I want us every eyes to close. Can you lift up your hands to the Lord, everybody? Lift up your hands to the Lord right now and say, Lord, when I look at your holiness, Father, when I see how great you are, help me to be your follower every moment of my life. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to worship you. Help me to praise you and praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all worship the Lord. Everybody, lift up your hands and start worshiping the Lord. Let's all, come on, lift up your hands, everyone. Open your mouth and start worshiping the Lord. Can you just surrender your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be totally surrendered to do your will. I want to develop some godly convictions in my life. I want to stand and be faithful to the call of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us sing and worship the Lord together right now.